You can talk for a couple of minutes.
Is it on?
It's on.
Oh, okay. Following the stock market crash in 29, there was a lot of analyzing and soul searching of what caused it. And by 1933 to 34, there were several very extensive laws passed changing the system, in quotes, for the better. And one of these laws required that all new stocks being sold had to be registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. And they had to, in the registration, indicate, in the registration write-up, they had to indicate the selling plans, the company finances, the reasons for selling the stock, the business's strengths and weaknesses, a whole series of things about the company. Because the feeling was in 33 that many of the stocks that crashed in 29 were what was referred to as blue sky stocks. A blue sky stock is a stock in a company that has no more substance to it than blue sky.
Okay.
So it's a very derogatory term. And there were stocks being sold prior to the 29 crash that really had no substance to them. There was also a strong feeling that stocks had been oversold, overhyped. And this was attempted to be put in check by the legislation in 1933. They required the prospectus be prepared on a regular basis, bringing the company's statistics up to date. It required that there be an accountant review of the company. And they actually instituted a procedure called a quiet period, to where between the registration of a stock with the SEC prior to the approval of that stock to be sold, the company had to stop pitching the stock. They had to shut up and not do any more hype on the stock until after.
Buy me again.
Okay. During, they register this proposed sale of stocks with the Securities and Exchange Commission.
Okay.
During the period the Securities and Exchange Commission is reviewing it, the company has to stop talking about it.
So this would be a new stock going on the market.
Right.
But the company has to quit advertising.
Now
when our stock comes out next month, we want you to buy it. You know, this is a good company. You've got to shut up.
But if they were regularly doing certain advertisements, are they allowed to continue doing?
No, they've got to shut up.
Advertisements?
They've got to absolutely shut up.
So let's say that McDonald's is a new company, or a relatively new company.
Okay, not.
But and it does it sticks ads out on the air saying, you know, come and eat my hamburgers. If it decides we're going to register the stock with the SEC,
they can still say come and eat our hamburgers. They can't say this is a stock that's going to grow.
Okay, it's the advertising to buy the stock.
Oh, okay.
They can't do.
All right, I was going, how do they manage to stay in business if they can't
advertise? No, it's just meant advertising about the stock.
It's only for a short and duration time period of 1 or 2 months or a few weeks.
It's 20 days back minimum, and it can be longer if the SEC is slower. Now, the term quiet period is also, I've heard it being used in relationship to quarterly earnings. I have been unable to verify how it applies in that case. But I definitely know how it applies in new stocks. The quiet period is a term that frequently come up in the stock market. Another term that comes up occasionally is called gun jumping. This is where they cheat and start talking about the stock before the period has run. Example, Google conducted interviewed by Playboy well prior to their stock coming public. Then they went into registration with the SEC, and Playboy has a time lag built into their advertisement, into their magazine, so the magazine got published during the quiet period.
That's not Google's fault.
Google was held to it. They had to delay selling their stock and start the procedure all over again. They could have been issued a very severe financial fine for Playboy having published. But anyhow.
So in other words, Google should have known.
Should have known.
That this interview they had done would be published during this period and should have either put off their IPO or tell Playboy, you can't publish this until after we
right.
turn public.
Right.
What was the article saying that was...
They were just talking about the company, what the company does, how it does it.
But that is basically...
That's the type of information that's put out when you're trying to promote the stock.
I mean, not all ads look like ads, but a promotional piece in a magazine can encourage somebody, gee, when that one comes out, I want to buy it. That's a good company. And that's what they're...
There's a very fine line between
advertising
stocks, then.
A very fine line, and it can be very expensive for stepping across to the wrong side.
Because
that was also advertising.
I realize Google,
right.
Yeah, because, I mean, what's the difference between putting in an advertisement in a magazine saying, go to google.com, it's got all this wonderful stuff, and an article in there that talks about what the company does so that people will get excited and go to google.com.
Right, exactly.
What's the difference?
There's no difference. So this is considered advertising. So they broke the quiet period.
But if they are allowed to advertise their company but not advertise their stock...
No, they can advertise the product, not the company. They can't. They could say, "Go to Google," but they can't say Google is great.
Yeah, you're right. It's a fine line.
Anyhow, they got by it. Google did not get fined financially, but they had to alter dates. Another little facet to this. Is there's something called a piggyback registration. That is, if they have done one registration and done it correctly, and they decide to sell additional stocks soon after, they can say, well, we will piggyback this second sale on the first registration. On a more recent basis, and I can't give you...
What would be an example of a piggyback?
A piggyback is a subsequent additional stocks being sold.
So in other words, if they sold a million shares and then they decided, hey, there's enough interest in this, we can sell another 50,000, they can add that on.
They can piggyback it.
And say, they don't have to do the whole registration process, they can just say add on with the SEC.
Okay, so they're just basically, it's dealing with number of shares then instead of separate products.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
So then for every time they want to reissue shares, they have to go through this
quiet
process?
They have to go through the registration period, yes. Unless it is close time frame-wise. Okay, on a more recent basis...
So in other words, if I'm Company A and I'm selling 10 shares of stock now, the next month I decide that, hey, these 10 shares... Shares are going really quickly here. I might want to do another 10 or 20. Then I can piggyback those. But if I wait for a year, then I have to reapply.
You have to go through the whole rigmarole again. And
even,
it is a very...
Even though it's still Company A.
Right.
And even though there's... It's just... a different number of stocks and a different...
Yeah. I can't give you the exact time frame, but
that's
the SEC...
Not really.
The SEC operates pretty much on a quarterly basis. So I assume if it goes 3 months, they've got to start over.
I mean, you could have changed your company a whole lot in a year that they might think that they might think if you want to issue more stocks, maybe you're not... They want to make sure that you're still in good financial shape and that you still are obeying all the rules and all this stuff. Lots of things happen in a year. They're just checking you out.
Do you not want a company
so
to...
How often do companies go through this?
Most companies don't reissue stock that often.
This would prevent then companies from deciding that on a whim they're going to reissue stock this month and just do something in 5 months from now and so on and so forth. It helps curtail any particular company from diluting their stock value in a major manner or other things of that nature.
Yeah, there's a number of things SEC wants to prevent. And there haven't been an awful lot of laws since 33, but most of the changes that have happened since 33 are regulations issued by the Securities and Exchange Commission.
That's along with the whole rest of the government. We don't have too many laws passed. We have a lot of regulations issued by departments. Okay.
So do
most companies then just sell lots,
most companies
lots of shares of stocks?
And they have no need for selling any more stock. They don't need more money. I mean, their stocks will trade back and forth. You'll buy some, I'll buy some, he'll sell some, whatever. But the only time they would want to sell more stock is if they... I mean, there's two ways they can get more money if they want to expand the company. One is to sell more stock, and the other is to borrow from the bank. And a lot of times they would prefer to borrow from the bank because stockholders don't like for them to sell more stock, because that means if they sell more stock of a company you own, your stock is actually worth less, because what your stock is worth is whatever. If you own 1% of the company and they sell a whole bunch more, now you only own 0.5% of the company.
How is it that we are able to buy stock each month?
Because somebody else wants to sell it. Somebody else that already owns it. We're not buying it from the company. We're buying it from somebody who owns it and wants to sell it.
For every smart sucker out there that knows it's time to buy that stock, there's a dumb idiot who wants to sell it because of the same reasons.
Or vice versa.
Yeah. So we're buying stock that other people want to sell. And that's what changes the price of a stock, is if more people want to buy it and not many want to sell it, they have to keep bidding it up in order to get somebody else to be willing to sell it. That's what makes a stock go up in price, is being more buyers than sellers. If everybody kind of wants to sell it and is out there trying to sell it and nobody wants to buy it, the price goes lower because people will say, okay, well, if you won't buy it at this price, how about at this price? So that's the total thing that makes the stock prices go up and down.
Uh-huh. Supply and demand.
Is that
a good portion of it. Is there anything on the reverse side?
This whole time I thought it was the company that we were buying these from the company.
Nope.
Is there anything on the reverse side on this the company buyback? Do they have to go through the SEC to get permission, or just from the general stockholders that...
They can buy back all they want, and they can resell what they buy back. They are just participating as a owner of stock.
Not to exceed 5% without notification?
I don't know that they even have that restriction.
So the companies then sell 100 stocks to different people who then kind of exchange between themselves.
Mm-hmm. And the company gets involved every so often.
Wow. I mean, that's where the company gets its money, is when it sells stocks. But once it's done it, it's kind of just out of it.
You guys may have just as well have announced to the Earth, to someone who believed that the Earth was flat, that it's round.
Wow.
Okay. Progress.
Hey, we made
Hey, that's the purpose of the meeting.
That's the purpose of the meeting. Wow. Okay.
Okay. Bringing it more recent. They periodically...
It's going to take me a bit to digest this, okay. This may help... This may help us to understand why she's having trouble understanding why stock prices go up and down.
Yeah.
Well, this is a major factor why prices go up and down, but there's always whims, rumors, and fact of data that also cause it to happen.
Right.
Yes, but it has nothing to do with the company deciding to buy and sell.
Uh-huh. Okay, getting back to my subject.
Yes, getting back to your subject.
The SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, periodically puts out new regulations, new laws. They don't have
Not
to
laws,
go back.
Regulations.
Regulations, okay. A recent one, and I don't have the exact date of this, was called Regulation FD. That's Regulation Full Disclosure. This requires that a company can no longer sit down with an analyst and tell that analyst everything that's going on. If they say anything about the company, they've got to say it to everybody at the same time.
So they can't call the Merrill Lynch guy that covers their stock and say, hey, this is what's happening with us, because he would then take his information and encourage his clients to either buy or sell based on that, and they would have an unfair advantage over you and me. Everybody's got to have
it. So we're not talking an analyst within their company.
No, we're talking an outside person who is encouraging people to buy or sell.
Which was the practice. They found it much easier to talk to individual analysts from the brokerage companies rather than try to broadcast everything. They've now been told that if you're going to announce it, you've got to do it to everybody.
Well, how do you do it to everybody?
News media.
Press release.
Press release. Now,
you call a news conference.
This has caused all kinds of havoc in the market. Because
yeah, I can see why.
It is very difficult to get all the nuances out in a press release. It is very difficult to get information out there, and companies have become considerably more reluctant to circulate information about what they're doing. Now,
because it might be misunderstood.
Yes.
The news media shorten it down and maybe leave something out.
Right.
Oh, they would never do that.
Now, my point here is regulations are not always positive. They can also be negative. And almost everything else that has happened with the law has been both positive and negative. I mean, you pointed out the fine line between the quiet period and what can be done and can't be done. There are positives and negatives all across the board. Now, the most recent alteration...
There's got to be some sort of a compromise where they can get and do the detailed nitty-gritty stuff with...
There's always compromising. No matter how much compromising they do, somebody's going to be unhappy on one side and somebody else is going to be unhappy on the other side. That's the essence of a compromise.
It seems to me that I understand why they've done that, but because there are people that were giving out too much inside information, for lack of a better word.
That's the correct term.
But by the same token, I think I'd rather get detailed information. I think I'd rather, as a person buying stocks or whatever, I would rather sit down with whoever, my stockbroker or whomever, and know that that person has the detailed information so they have a full understanding, than sit down knowing that my stockbroker just got the same media release that I got.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point.
But you see, not everybody buys through...
Although he's going to understand the media coverage a whole heck of a lot better than I would anyway, but still.
This is partly, I think, due to a lot of people buying stocks online.
Yeah, prior to online,
almost everybody
investors depended on brokers. Now, an awful lot of investors don't have anything to do with the brokers. They go online.
and they can buy stocks online and...
Like the Ameritrade that Sandy's doing.
Like the Ameritrade that Sandy's doing, yeah. She's not asking them for any guidance or information. She's just buying a stock and it doesn't cost her that much to do it. Mm-hmm. Because we're not asking, you know, as an investment club, we're not asking a broker for information. So why should we pay for it?
Now, one additional law in the subject of information distribution is the Sarbanes-Oxley law. This is very recent, too, and I don't have the exact date, but we're talking a few years. And what Sarbanes-Oxley law does has made it much more difficult on management, telling management what to do on the way of accounting of their finances. And the CEO, Chief Operations Officer, and the Chief Financial Officer now have to certify the accuracy of the information they put out.
Or go to jail.
Or go to jail.
That was about 2 to 3 years ago.
Yeah. There's now go to jail responsibility attached to being accurate. Not just honest, but accurate. This is causing all kinds of consternation. But it was done as a result of the Enron situation, where there was apparently deliberate lying. And
it sounds like the government is trying to legislate morality, and that's what I find scary. Because you cannot legislate morality.
Oh, they're trying. Yes. That is a good analysis of it. They are trying to legislate morality, and they are actually causing a lot of havoc in the process. However,
you cannot legislate morality. You either are a moral people, and laws help you to encourage to stay that way, or else you're an immoral society, and nothing will keep you in check.
Well, that's a philosophical position.
And we're halfway in between.
You're not going to get...
I wish we were only halfway in between. I think we're beyond that point.
You're not going to get the Democrats to agree to that, because the Democrats are very much into wanting government management. Anyhow.
Well, and it's not just...
That's why I love teaching, among other reasons.
It's not just that people want to do the wrong thing.
There's always somebody that wants to do the wrong thing.
Yes, there's... Okay, but I don't believe the majority of people want to do the wrong thing. I believe the majority of people want to do the right thing. I think there are people who make mistakes. I think there's an occasional person. I mean, everybody at Enron was not a bad person. But there were a couple of them who were very greedy and used manipulative things, and other people went along with it, not realizing how really immoral and probably illegal it was, because they just didn't get into it enough, and this is what they're trying to prevent, is the higher-ups for not getting into it enough to really understand what's going on.
So it's a case of a couple of people mess up, and so the rest of us are punished for their...
Well, I don't know that you're punished, but yeah.
Well, yes, yeah. Because they have made it much more expensive to manage a company,
yeah.
Because of the additional recording requirements, reporting requirements. Companies are very conservative now in reporting their earnings because of the go-to-jail responsibility if a mistake is made. Anyhow, I don't want to beat that subject to death.